Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from David Lindell, West Campus Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You know, at men's conference, in Louis Giglio's second session, he talked about the posture of possibility. It's not what I'm talking about tonight. But as I was pre-service, I was down at the altar praying right here, and I was just, I don't know, I wasn't thinking about it. I don't think I was thinking about it. I was praying, calling on God for the service, and just he brought that phrase back to my mind, the posture of possibility. And as we prepare to spend some time in the altar, we need to remember that this is a place of possibility. That being in the prayer meeting gets you ready to get into the posture of possibility. What do I mean by the posture of possibility? I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but what do I mean by the posture of possibility? I mean exactly what Louis said in his second session. That posture of possibility is when you get down on your face before the one and only King of heaven and earth, Lord of all creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the only one who really knows you inside and outside 100% and loves you without reservation, hesitation, 100%. And that when you get on your face, and I would just say, if you were at men's conference, one of the things he challenged us to do in that session, he said, you may not be able to do it where you're sitting, but when this session ends, you go out in the parking lot, you go find a field, you get in the parking garage, I don't care. You go out on the concourse and the walkway and wherever you find a place to get on your face. And there may be some in here and you still, for whatever reason, was over and you got busy and you haven't found that place. Tonight, we're going to find that place. We're going to get in the posture of possibility and we're going to say, God, what do you want? We're all yours. And God's going to do some things in our heart. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now there are all sorts of things that we don't fully understand, that you can't wrap your mind around. It's not just that I can't fully comprehend God's majesty, God's grandeur, God's might, God's plan. But there are things that we walk through, perhaps that you're walking through right now, and it feels like you're kind of in limbo, or you're in a season where there's tension, and you feel like you've asked God has started something that he hasn't finished yet. Or God has placed you somewhere, and he didn't give you all the directions. Have you ever gotten a box from Amazon, something you were supposed to, IKEA is the worst. You get something you're supposed to put together, and then they leave parts out or that you don't have all the directions. God is not. That's not me comparing God to IKEA. I promise. That is not what's happening here. That would be a very faulty comparison. But it can feel that way sometimes, that God started you down a path and he had you take some steps. Like earlier when that prophetic word was given, you're wading out into the waters of my will, and yet in the midst of that you're finding opposition, or in the midst of that you've got big questions, in the midst of that you can't see, and it feels a little unsettling. Paul says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. You know, the reality is, as you're walking through life, or as God has called you to step out, or God is speaking to you, God is leading you, God is pushing you in a direction, there is that in between, and it's all about seeing. In Mark's gospel in chapter 8, there's in the very middle of the gospel, Mark's the only one who records this story. But he tells us a story about Jesus encountering a man who can't see. Physically, he's blind. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22 says this. It says, And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." In other words, kind of. I've got objects out in front of me. My vision is a bit blurred. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. He saw everything clearly. The first time Jesus touched him, what did a miracle happen? Yeah, a miracle happened. A guy who was blind started to see a little bit. But what was required in this man's life was a second touch. And there are some of you in here, and God has, this happens actually in all of our lives. It's not just a some of you or part of you or this section or this group. The reality is all of us experience this. There are times where we experience a touch from God. God speaks to your heart. Maybe this weekend you experienced a touch from God. Maybe God mobilized you. God moved you. God spoke to you. God began the healing process in your heart. God began to lead you out of where you were to where he wanted you to be. You knew that God had spoken. You knew that God was moving. You knew that God was leading. He touched you. He spoke to you. He began working in your life. But the truth is this, sometimes every one of us, and I would maybe back up the train there and say often, we need a second touch. How do you know if you need a second touch from God? God started something, but you really need him. You really need him to come again and meet you in that place, to do something, to add on to what he started, to really give you that second touch. How do you know? First, I would say this. We need a second touch when we are struggling to trust. You need a second touch when you are struggling to trust God. You know, what's so interesting about this story in Mark chapter 8 is it's between two other stories that are both about seeing. You've got the blind man in verses 22 through 25, and then that informs how you read the passage that comes before and the passage that comes after. And the passage that comes before is all about trust. In fact, look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 14. "And now they had forgotten to bring bread." Who is this? This is the disciples. "And they had only one loaf with them, and they were hungry in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, 'Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember when we broke the five loaves for the when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketful of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said, 12. He's like, "How many are there of you?" And they say, 12. And for the seven, for the 4,000, how many baskets full did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" The reality is this, that you need a second touch when you are struggling to trust God. You need a second touch when you're walking through something and you just, you're not quite there yet. When it says in this passage in verse 15, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, what's that in reference to? The reference there is that leaven is signs, the desire for a sign. In other words, what Jesus is saying is it's this idea that you can't believe unless God does a miracle when and where you want to see a miracle. And I think for a lot of us, that's where the issue comes into play on the whole trust thing. That we've got, God has started us down a road, and there are things that we are expecting Him to accomplish in a certain way at a certain time. And when our timeline isn't met, when we don't see what we expected or God doesn't do what we anticipated, all of a sudden it gets kind of hard to trust. All of a sudden, you thought, man, the light was shining on every step and there were birds chirping and butterflies and, you know, all sorts. It was just wonderful. It was just all good. And you could see where you were going and you felt like, God feels so close. And then in the midst of that, all of a sudden, it feels like God had a few miracle miscues. And those miscues in your timetable and in your timeline all of a sudden disrupted your ability to trust Him and rely on Him. And Jesus says to the disciples, in the middle of this, in the middle of it, they're thinking about something that's totally unrelated to what Jesus is talking about in some ways. They're thinking about where's dinner going to come from. And Jesus says, oh my goodness, guys, I've got you. I mean, like, this is so small, but let me take this conversation, this dialogue that you're having, hoping that I don't notice that you forgot to bring the picnic basket. Let me talk to you about my power. That you can trust me, that I've got you, that regardless of the timetable that you have playing out in your mind, I am in control and I am bringing my plan to pass. But the reality is this, when you're in a situation, when you're in a season where you're struggling to trust, you need God to give you a second touch. You need that second touch from the Lord. It's easy. The reality is this for every one of us. It's easy to forget all the miracles that God has done in the past, especially when we're faced with a new challenge. It's easy to forget all the ways He's gone before you, all the ways He's helped you, that the very fact that you have breath in your lungs, that you can create sentences with your mouth, that you have cognitive function, all of that's a miracle every second. Miracle, 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 miracle. He's holding you in the palm of His hand. But we forget. And so what happens is we find ourselves anxious and worried, and we need a second touch. We also, though, need a second touch when the miracle hasn't been completed yet. Hasn't been completed. You see that in verses 22 through 25. As you read the story of this blind man, the reality is he saw, but he didn't see clearly. And it's possible that Jesus has touched you, that Jesus has spoken to you, that God has done something in your life, that you have experienced a manifestation of His power that has worked you over and worked you up and set you on a path, a new path, new direction. And yet, that He, in His timing and in His wisdom, has not completed what He started. And it's because He wants to do more. He wants to do more. He wants to get closer. He wants to get close. He wants to draw you in. He doesn't want you to be done talking to Him about it, processing it, working it through, that there's more to the miracle than you've experienced to this point. You need a second touch. When the miracle hasn't been completed, you need a second touch. But also, notice this, we need a second touch when our understanding is limited. When our understanding is limited. Verse 27, right after this situation with the blind man, it says, and Jesus went on with His disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way He asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Okay, so we've talked about bread. I just healed a blind man. Who do people say that I am? And they told Him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered Him, you are the Christ. We'll skip down to the next set of verses there, if we got them. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside. The guy who just said, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The truth is this, that Peter understood Jesus' identity, but he did not understand Jesus' ministry. He understood Jesus' name, Jesus' title, but he did not understand Jesus' work. And sometimes we can get the God who set things in motion. We can wrap our mind around the fact that God's in it, but we haven't fully wrapped our minds around what it is. And in that case, you need a second touch. You need God to speak to you because your understanding has got to grow. Peter's understanding had to develop. Peter's understanding had to push forward. But in order for the understanding to push forward, Peter had to have a second touch. And tonight, there are some of you, and the reality is you know the will of God for your life, the will of God for your life. But you don't know the when. You don't know the how. And you're struggling with the why. And in the midst of that, you need a second touch. And where does the second touch happen? Where did the second touch happen for the blind man? It happened when he came to him and he begged him, "Oh, if you will touch me, you can do it. I need a touch from you." The second touch will happen. The second touch will always happen in the posture of possibility. When you come, when I come, and we say, "God, what I need is a touch from you." That's honestly, that's all. What else do you need? What else could be more important tonight? What else could be more valuable tonight in God's presence than that you and I get in the posture of possibility and say, "Oh God, if you will touch me, oh God, if you will speak, if you will stir my heart, if you will move the miracle forward, what possibility lies in front of me?" Only God knows that. My job isn't to articulate to him what he needs to do in my life. My job is to posture myself in a place of possibility, divine potential, and say, "Oh God, do whatever you want."